This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. How much of a concern is the Mavs' 4-game losing streak and the fact that over the last 10 games, they have the 4th lowest points per 100 possessions? Things have gone awry here in this Mavericks season after a pretty promising start there. Just a week and a half ago, we were excited about where this team was heading. But things have not progressed swimmingly. So let's investigate. We bring on Dallas Mavericks insider Bobby Corella here on 105.3 The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm good. It feels like the last time I was here, things were a little happier. So yeah. Hopefully we can turn it around soon.
Yeah. How confident are you that this group can turn it around?
Fairly confident. You know, and that's not just towing the company line or anything. I think, you know, one big difference between this season so far, it is still early, of course, but one big difference between this season and the last two seasons, so 22 and 21, in both of these last 2 years, guys up and down the roster have shot career best percentages from three, which on the one hand is great because you like seeing guys get better, but on the other hand is like, okay, well, what happens if they get a little worse? Well, now this year, Luka, Hardaway, Bullock, they're all shooting career worse. Maxi Kleba also shooting career worse from three. Dorian Finney-Smith shooting his worst percentage from three since Luka's rookie year. And so whereas the last couple of years you had guys playing shooting better than they'd ever done, now you have guys shooting worse than they ever have. And so you just have to think that eventually one or two or maybe even three of them will turn it around a little bit. And the margins they're working with are still super small and super narrow. So if they just make one or two more shots a game, it was a totally different team. So that's my reason for optimism. And there's, you know, plenty of reason for pessimism too, but it's still early.
Are they too 3-point dependent right now, Bobby?
Maybe. You know, they play the slowest pace in the league, and so all of their per-game stuff is going to be really low. But the Mavs take the fewest 2-point shots per game in the league this season. It's like they take something like 43 or 44 shots per game from inside the 3-point line, which is, you know, pretty low, obviously. And Luka and Spencer Dinwiddie combined to take about half of them. And so the entire rest of the roster combined takes like 22s. And many of them are taken by Christian Wood. So outside of the big three guys, you know, Luka, Dinwiddie, and Wood, they are very three-point reliant. And there's good and bad. You know, the good is that it always creates a lot of space. The bad is if you can't buy a bucket, then it's really hard to engineer easy ones. And so, you know, there's a little give and take with that. I think the way they're playing, they are generating good shots, a lot of corner threes. They still get a pretty good amount of shots at the rim, and also they shoot a lot of free throws. So that's really good. But those shooters, especially the wings and the guards, they have got to heat up soon.
Bobby, do you think they're getting tired? Or I know you live with this team, so you know them better than any. You think they're getting tired with all the Christian Wood talk in the media and the questions about Christian Wood?
Maybe, you know, I think J Kidd gets a little salty every now and then, you know, not as maybe aggressive as Rick Carlisle would have in a similar situation. But, you know, I think it's definitely a big storyline, you know, a big thing that people are asking coach and players about, including Wood himself. And, you know, I think it was last week or a few days ago, he gave kind of a cryptic quote after a loss about, well, I'm just doing, you know, what I'm told. I'm just playing when they ask me to. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's some secret sauce or if there's some sort of reason or plural reasons why Wood doesn't play more or whatever. But, you know, these last few games, I thought he gave him pretty good minutes against Milwaukee. And, you know, I thought he was pretty good, obviously, against Boston as well. Now, the Toronto game and the second Denver game, his minutes were down in both of those. He played, I think, under 20 minutes in both of those games. But those teams blitzed Luka and trapped Luka a lot. And I haven't seen that connection between those two when Luka is getting double teamed. And so against teams that for the most part, switch or will go under or hedge or show or whatever against Luka, like not play as aggressively. I think that opens the door for Wood to play a little more on offense until they're able to kind of get on the same page and against those more aggressive defenses. And seems like over the next few games, they're playing slightly more conservative teams. And so I would assume that Wood's minutes are going to go up a lot.
You know, Bobby, you referenced the numbers on the percentage of the Mavs' three-point shooting, and Tim Cato had a great article that we talked about earlier in The Athletic. You know, when you reference that to some other teams like the Celtics, who are the best offense in basketball, they're playing a similar style of offense. So is this for the Mavericks? You kind of just wait it out and hope eventually these shots start falling? Or do you think they do need to tweak kind of how they're playing offense right now?
Well, I don't know. I think six of one and half dozen of the other. So the answer to your question is yes. I think last season, very similar start. Now, different circumstances. Obviously, there were guys out with COVID, and you know, but it was the same sort of deal. Like, how do we work in KP? Now it's how do we work in Wood? You know, trying to find this big man connection with Luka, and then it's a bunch of guys struggling from deep. You know, Reggie Bullock, Tim Hardaway Jr. both got off to slow starts last year. Dorian Finney-Smith did as well. And if I remember right, Maxi Kleber did too. Now, things just randomly clicked for them right after Christmas, once Luka got back from his extended absence of COVID and injury and fitness and all that stuff. And they were great the rest of the year. They were like a top 10, even I think for most of the season, top 5 3-point shooting team. But also the big fundamental switch they made along the way was trading KP and, you know, leaning more into guard play and relying on Brunson more and acquiring Spencer Dinwiddie. And so, you know, I think if they want to keep shooting jumpers, you know, and if they want to keep spreading the floor, then maybe finding another guy that can sort of grease the wheels a little bit, you know, maybe that's Kemba Walker or Jaden Hardy or whoever, maybe that can open up looks for guys. But at the same time, the open looks they are getting, and they're getting so many already, they're just not knocking them down at a high enough clip. You know, for Dallas, of all teams, you know, Dallas has never been a huge corner three team, but this year they're number one in the league in number of attempts from the corner, which is fantastic. That's where you want to shoot it from, but they're bottom half in percentage. And so it's like, you know, this is very similar to the same roster as last season. And last season they had no problem making these shots for like 6 months. So do you abandon ship and just say, we got to change everything because we're having, you know, one bad month, or do you try and ride it out? Of course, the risk with riding it out is maybe it never gets better and all of a sudden you're like the 12th seed in February. So hopefully, you know, hopefully things turn around soon.
Bobby, is with all the things that are kind of going on through this losing streak and all that, are we really missing a chance to talk about how well Josh Green has actually played? I mean, are his looks like his development for this team?
He's been really good, you know, playing with a lot of confidence. And that was kind of his own confidence, I feel like, was his biggest enemy earlier in his career because, you know, and these were kind of different circumstances, but his rookie season, you know, Rick Carlisle was very, you know, the leash wasn't very long on Josh Green. I guess that's the fairest way to say it. If he made one mistake, he would come out. And it was kind of the same way last year, only a little less so because there were so many injuries and COVID absences and stuff where Green was able to kind of finagle his way into the rotation. But this year he's kind of entrenched. And so, you know, what I'm really looking for and what I've really been impressed with as far as his game is concerned is in instances where he makes a bad pass or he misses a couple threes in a row, or maybe he, you know, is a little out of control on defense and commits a couple fouls back to back. You know, is he going to, like, you know, take a step back in terms of his intensity? Is he going to take his foot off the gas? Or is he going to keep playing? Is he going to take the next shot? Is he going to put the ball on the floor again? Is he going to try and make another pass? And he has kept playing in almost all these circumstances, you know, no matter what's happened on the previous play. And that's really important. And also, from a statistical standpoint, I mean, he's one of your only players on the team right now outside of Luka and Dinwiddie that is willing to go to the basket and that has the ball handling and the quickness and the skill to go to the rim and finish at the rim. And that's really, really important too, because for a while here, you know, a lot of these wings have been either catch and shoot or catch and immediately pass back to Luka. There's just not a lot of dynamic play from those guys, but Green has been providing that at a very high level, I feel like, these last couple weeks.
Bobby Corella, Mavs.com. When do you think Kemba Walker is going to play? And how much do you think he's going to help?
I don't know. I think, you know, they got to wait for Camposo to clear waivers, of course, which wouldn't happen until tomorrow at the earliest. And then I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of, you know, get him up to speed with everything. But you know, maybe next week. I'm not really sure. I know that they have a lot of back-to-backs coming up, and so the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. But you know, as far as how often he'll play, how much he can help, I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, this offense needs some juice. This offense needs some scoring, some creation, no matter how they can find it. Now, whether that comes in the form of Walker or Jaden Hardy or both, that would be fantastic. I guess it just depends on who's going to play better, maybe. You know, maybe it's a ride the hot hand thing, or maybe it's let's play both and see what happens. But I mean, this team needs more dribble penetration, need more quickness on the perimeter, need more guys that can create their own shot. And Walker, throughout his career, has really been able to do that. And so hopefully he's able to come in and contribute right away. You know, and if not, then it's going to kind of be wait and see, or hope that Jaden Hardy can kind of make a name for himself up with the big team.
Now, things could change pretty quick, couldn't they? With the trade market and the picks the Mavs could trade, is there going to be opportunity here in the next 2 months going into the trade deadline to address their concerns? Or do you think they'll want to wait until the offseason to tweak the roster?
I mean, I think, you know, based on the kind of the nature of some of the contracts they have a few contracts that are expiring, and then they have a couple that are non-guaranteed or not totally, you know, they're basically expiring contracts. They could make a move, you know, some sort of consolidation move, or like what they did with KP last year, trade one big contract for two smaller ones. But if you're looking for like an all-star or borderline all-star kind of trade, I think their best bet is in the offseason, because then they'll at least know, you know, right now, actually, sadly, that pick to New York would not convey. The Mavs would actually have the 10th pick in the draft right now, which isn't super ideal. Because they would kick the can down the road even further on when they can trade future picks. But if they do end up conceding the pick to the Knicks, then this summer, all of their future picks are available for trade. You know, they're going to have a couple more expiring contracts, and that's whenever they can maybe make a real move, like push their chips into the table kind of move. In the meantime, I think it's going to be, you know, maybe stuff around the margins. But that's where the Mavs are losing games right now. And so if you can find 2 points here or 3 points there, save yourself some points on defense with the trade there, then you have to do it, because I mean, right now you need guys that can come in and play, and you got to find something that can work.
This losing is temporary, right? There's no way that in a couple, 2-3 months, we're going to be talking about a shot at Wembanyama in the draft lottery or something, right?
God, I hope not. I mean, I think, I hope that, yes, I hope the losing is temporary. Yes. Okay. I hope that we're not talking about ping pong balls. That's what I hope we're not doing.
Miserable.
But yeah, I mean, you have to hope that guys do not continue to shoot it worse than they ever have in their careers. That's the difference between winning and losing right now. There's a bunch of other stuff they can fix, but I mean, if you don't make shots, if you don't make open shots, you are not giving yourself a chance to win. And the same goes for free throws too. They got to do those things. Otherwise, literally nothing else even matters.
Do you have some Jaden Hardy optimism?
I do. You know, I do. I think he's got a lot of confidence, and he's definitely got some pizzazz to his game, some flair to his game. You know, he really knows he's good, you know, but not in like a super conceited way. You know, he plays with energy. He's got a really nice jump shot. You know, I think just the gap, the disparity between his numbers this year and his numbers last year when he was also in the G League. I mean, he's shooting like 20% better from the floor, 22% better from three. He's averaging 12 more points per game this year. I mean, just looks like a totally different player. He's actually being coached. He is cutting back on his turnovers. Like, he's making real, like, measurable progress. And that has to make – I mean, that gets me excited. That has to make everybody excited, because what the Mavs haven't had in a really long time outside of Luka is a super talented 20-year-old that can score from anywhere on the floor. I mean, like, this is like a totally new thing. And, you know, he fills – a lot of the gaps or checks a lot of the boxes and kind of qualities that they're looking for in a player that is missing from this thing. Now, I don't know if he can be that guy today or tomorrow or next month, but maybe next season, you know, maybe in April, who knows? I mean, at some point, I think he's going to earn himself a chance, and it just comes down to what he does with it whenever that chance does come.
Bobby, Jalen Brunson, the Mavs are going to see him on Saturday, and I'm sure a big storyline will be him leaving for New York. We talked to CA, and it seemed like maybe he just had his mind made up. He wanted to be a Knick. It didn't matter what the Mavericks offered, but did they maybe misevaluate how much they'd really miss JB, him not being a part of this offense and being a part of this roster?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know about misevaluate. Obviously, once he did leave, it's kind of like, well, I mean, can't really replace a guy that's taking $30 million. You know, they were already over the cap. So It was always going to be, if he did leave, they were going to have to find a guy basically for the minimum, you know, or veteran minimum, or use a draft pick on them like they did with Jaden Hardy. So, you know, it's not like they could just sort of wave a wand and replace Jalen or his production or what he brought to the offense. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some book written about it in 10 years or 15 years, and we'll know exactly what happened and whether the Mavs kind of fumbled the bag or whether Jalen's mind was made up. I have reason to believe both sides, but I also think, too, you know, Jalen's dad agreed to work for the Knicks. And so, like, it seemed like this was going to be something that was going to happen. But, yeah, I'm obviously still a little bummed about it. And, no, I never check the box score. I never look at his numbers. I never watch his highlights late at night while listening to sad music or anything. I'm totally over it, and I know everybody else is, too.
Bobby, what we're not over is the fact when the opponent – half their best players sit down and then the Mavs take an L. Have you ever seen anything like this where, you know, it used to be like, well, hey, their best player's not playing. Okay, good, this gives you a chance. I look at it now and say, well, this is going to be a really competitive game. What is your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it is kind of weird, right? I mean, I think we've seen that more over the last couple of years just because of massive COVID outbreaks and stuff, but it seems like every time until this season, every time the Mavs did play a team that was just totally ravaged by injuries, they also were too. And so it was just, the game was a real toss up. But I don't remember having seen a stretch where it basically feels like, you know, for 10 or 12 games in a row there, every team they played was down one or two or three starters, oftentimes all of them all stars somehow. And then they still couldn't get it done. You know, I think not that this explains it away, because I do think that, you know, some of these losses are, you know, about as close to inexcusable as November regular season losses can get. But, you know, the Mavs kind of, they openly say that their defense is basically 80% the same from game to game. And that final 20% or so depends on the opponent. And so if you're preparing for Denver, you're like, all right, well, here's how we're going to defend Jokic. Okay, well, Jokic is out. What do we do? And it seems like what they've done in these games where starters are out is kind of wait to see who on the other team is having a good game, and then eventually they make adjustments. You know, eventually they started trapping Bones Highland, and it actually worked in that game they lost to Denver because they started getting stops. But by the time, you know, they finally did that, like, he'd already scored a career high. So, you know, I feel like it's maybe like there is merit, obviously, to specifically game planning for a certain opponent. But if you take one variable out of the equation, suddenly the whole deal is different, and then you have to go back to square one, and all of a sudden it's like the third quarter and you're down 10. And so, you know, some of that I feel like is maybe game plan or coaching related, but also two players play, you know, and the players just got to go out there with a little bit more, you know, intensity and a stronger disposition at both ends of the floor and just beat down those guys. You know, I mean, these are backups you're playing. You can do all the game planning you want, but if the other team is going to play harder than you, then it doesn't really matter. And like, Toronto gets 25 second chance points. I mean, you just can't let that happen. You cannot let that happen up and down the roster. Guys have to just play harder. So, you know, part of it is schematics. Part of it is just effort. And, you know, it's very dispiriting, very disappointing, of course. But, you know, luckily, the only silver lining is it's still early enough in the year to where this might not cost you at the end. But they do have to change something in order for that to not be the case.
Well said, as always, Bob. We appreciate your Mavs insights. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
There he goes. Appreciate you. Mavs.com. Bobby Corella, a must listen, a must follow on Mavericks Twitter. Okay, we got to run. When we come back, it's time for Wolchuk's Top 10 at 4:20. Where are we going with that, sir?
In honor of Team USA winning today and moving on to take on the Netherlands, we've got the top 10 greatest U.S. sports moments. What do you think's the best?
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.